Welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus. Today I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Heber, a Kashrus administrator at the Star K in Baltimore. How are you, Rabbi Heber?
Hashem, Shalom Aleichem. Nice
to
be here.
Such a schuss to finally have you here on the program.
Hashem.
There are a lot of different topics to talk about, but we decided today to talk about something that's very relevant. It's something that most people deal with on a daily basis, and that is brachas as they relate to breakfast cereals. Give us a little primer on what we should know about why this topic could be somewhat complicated.
Sure. So there are many ingredients in many products. Cereals are complex because there's an array of ingredients that go into them. And you have items which are chamesh mine dogon, which would be typically a mezonos. And then you have ground up non-chamesh mine dogon, which would become a shahakol. Sometimes you have a mixture. Sometimes you need to know how much is in one product, and it's going to be a difference in afkamina, how much is in there. And for a consumer, sometimes it's impossible to know.
I was going to say, it wouldn't even help to look at the ingredient panel if you don't know how much of a certain ingredient is in the product.
Correct. Sometimes that's the case. And in fact, that's where kashrus agencies come in, because kashrus agencies have access to the factories. We have access. Technically, we don't usually get percentages of products, because to make something kosher, even if it's a little bit, we don't give a hechsher on it.
Right.
Kashrus agencies are careful not to be simon chabitl, certainly to give a hechsher on a product where there's tarfus in it, we won't give a hechsher. So percentages only come into play in a kashrus per se when it's something, you know, chas v'shalom goes wrong. But typically, we don't look at percentages, we don't need percentages. By brachas, sometimes that information is very important, and you know, we ask, as kashrus agencies, we find that information when it's relevant to the recitation of the bracha.
And I will say also that typically, from what I've seen, while some Hamisha companies put the bracha on the product, which is very helpful, I imagine that large companies like Post and General Mills and Kellogg's are probably not so keen on putting the bracha on.
Correct, because then people are going to ask, what's the Hebrew writing?
What is it?
Baruch Hashem, they put the Hechsher on.
Exactly, I was going to say, tafastam rubalai tafastam, at least they do what they do, and we're grateful for that.
Exactly, we do take achrayas. A lot of agencies, though, do take achrayas for what bracha is said. At Star K, where I'm zoicha to work. So if a company wants to put a bracha, and I think most agencies are like this also, where if a company wants to put a bracha on the label, it has to run through our Ramesh Haidam Shlita.
First.
He would have to agree to that. And if someone wants to put on, let's say they want to put mezainis on a product that's hamaitzi, let's say the famous, you know, the mezainis rolls,
right,
where with mezainis rolls, which Rav Heinemann and Rebelsky, Zecharon Lebracha, were very makbid that those typical mezainis rolls are really hamaitzi. We're talking about where it looks like bread and tastes like bread and acts like bread. It's hamaitzi. So they were makbid, both the Star K and Rebelsky was makbid in the OU, that they can't write mezainis if it's not. Mm-hmm. In other words, because people look at it and think, oh, the heksher, the paiskim at this agency agree with the psak on the label.
Mm-hmm.
So some items, like, you know, the Hamisha companies that are making pizza or whatever, will have the ability to write it, but the national companies are not going to let the mezainis hadama on the box.
So getting back to cereals, give us some examples of specific cereals that would be typically mezainis, hadama, shahakol, and some guidelines.
Sure. Okay. So let's start with chamesh mine dagon. Chamesh mine dagon are the five grains. So you have wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt that are the five grains. Those chamesh mine dagon, of course, if they become bread or hamaitzi, and if you make them into an item that's not a hamaitzi, like a maisa kadeira, or you grind it up into flour and make an item, a cake would be, pasavav kistin would be mezainis. You make it into a cereal, so now that cereal is going to be mezainis. Cheerios is a classic example. Cheerios are oat flour that's ground up, and now they mix it and they put it through the various equipment that's going to heat it up and dry it and so on, and now it becomes a mezainis. So Cheerios, regular Cheerios, is pashut a mezainis cereal. Life cereal, chamesh mine dagon, those are very straightforward. Next case, if you have rice, a rice cereal, that's, let's say, you grind up the rice and make it into rice flour, so then also, that's also going to be mezainis, but a barina fashus. It takes on the properties of the rice, and therefore it's a mezainis and barnefashis. Let's say rice checks, for example, mm-hmm. would be a mezainis. Rice krispies also are mezainis. That gets to a whole other shaila. Lamaisa, Rav Heinemann says to make a mezainis on rice krispies. I think many paiskim hold like that. There are some that will make adama. That's more of a lumdish shaila of how much goes on, which actually is also part of the shaila of how they make it. Mm-hmm. Exactly this way or that way, and as we'll see later.
Now, just to ask you, if I see on an ingredient panel, if I see one of the chamishas minei dagon as the first ingredient, could I assume that it's mezainis?
Not necessarily, because if you have, let's say, chamish minei dagon that has not been processed, let's say kashi cereal is a grain, chamish minei dagon, and it's puffed without, they don't remove the bran from it. Mm-hmm. So pretty much l'chol adeis kashi is going to be hadama, because it's hakaisis chita. If you take wheat, and this is if you took wheat out of the field, like the farmer from Kansas, you know, that has the wheat in his mouth,
and he's eating it
as
raw,
is
what we call raw,
then it's going to be a hadama. Even if you toast it to a certain extent and it doesn't become a maisa kadeira, it retains its hadama status. So if you have certain grain cereals that are kashi is the best example. Once you start processing it more, this mm-hmm. is where the Rubik's cube of shilas come up. Is this enough? Is this not enough? There's a whole machlokes about vuch in the paiskim about puffed wheat, golden crisp. This is already discussed. Ramesha speaks about that cereal. But before we get into the lumdus, let's just say that if you look at the label and it's a processed item that's been ground into a flour, the grain is no longer nicker. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be a mezainis. If the first ingredient, so it's oats or wheat, are typically the cereals that are going to have ground up, it's going to become a mezainis, and then you're good to go. It's 100% mezainis. Now, if, however, so that's the second category. The third is if you take a non-chameshes minei dagon item, like corn.
Corn
is very common.
Hadama.
You grind it up. It's a corn as is a hadama. If you grind it up, let's say kik cereal, for example, is ground up corn and sugar. It's basically shahakals. It's the hadam is no longer nicker. Then the brach is going to be a shahakal. Where it gets tricky is if you have a ground cereal that is it nicker or is it not nicker? Is it enough processed? Is it not enough processed? And this is where you get into chulukadeis amongst the paiskim, exactly what constitutes. But those are the basic, you know, l'chol adeis. You grind wheat, it's a mezainis. You grind a Non chamesh minei dagon, it's going to be a shahakol. You grind rice, it's going to be a mezainis and a bar nefashos.
So I remember over the years, different types of cornflakes. Some were hadama and some were shahakol. Tell us why.
Correct. Okay. So cornflakes are made two different ways. One way to make it is by taking the corn, and the way corn starts, cornflakes, if you make it this way, this is the way Kellogg's makes it, is they take a corn grit. And it's, think of a piece of popcorn, right? You open a bag of popcorn, you have these grits. And let's say it's maybe a little smaller than a corn grit, it's probably about the same size. Then they go ahead and they soften it, and they run it through rollers. Mm-hmm. Then they toast it. So that's gonna be a hadama. Rav Moshe already in the Torah of Ayra in the early 70s was asked to Shaila. I think it's reprinted in the Gemara Moshe also. And he paskined that it's hadama. Now this a little bit of lumdus, because there were other svarim that spoke about this. The Reb Talushkin in the Sefer HaMikvos, he writes, he has a whole, and he wrote, he lived long before Reb Moshe's Psak, I believe, and why is it back of Mikvos? He put a few shtiklich in the back, right? Mm-hmm. And in there he speaks about the brach on cornflakes. Al Kapanim, Reb Moshe wrote clearly two very important piskei dinim for Kellogg's cornflakes, and that is, number one, that's considered nicker, right? And popcorn, both items. Because if you take corn and you eat it as is, corn on the cob, it's going to be a hadama. If you grind it up, as we said, and you make a kik cereal out of it, it's going to be a shahakol. Reb Moshe was asked, but cornflakes is flattened. If I want to give a mushel, if you want to do this at house, I don't know, don't try this at home, but if you took cornflakes, if you took popcorn and you softened it, and then you took your baking pans, right, and you put these corn grits in between the baking pans and you drove over it, okay, and then you took it and put it in the oven, you'd have cornflakes. Because you flattened it out.
So it's the actual grit.
It's the actual grit. Zakhar Moshe, right, in the Gemara Moshe, that's a hadama. That's not called losing a tzura. You just stretched it. Popcorn also. Popcorn was puffed. If you showed someone popcorn that didn't know what popcorn was, they would not know it's from corn. Mm-hmm. So no, it's still nicker because you stretched it in a way and it retains its bracha. Now that's how Kellogg's does it. Other companies, for example, Kemach cornflakes. Right. Kemach is made in a factory where they make it from what's called corn, not the grit, but it's pellets. What they do is it's really more uniform. What happens is they have corn flour that are made into pellets. Those pellets look like the original corn grit, but they're pellets. So those have lost their tsura. They're no longer, because they're not corn flour. They do the same process, basically, and that is they soften it and they roll it, and you get a cornflake. Now the consumer buys this brand or buys that brand.
It looks similar.
But Lamaisa, one's Adama and one is a Shahakal, which is you know, the beauty of Torah is that you could have two items that look the same, and to the consumer they're the same, but yet you got to this, and they look the same, and they almost, you know, maybe taste the same. Obviously, maybe there's, I don't know exactly the same, but right. You can't really tell the difference. For many years, I was wondering, is there a way the consumer to tell this?
Because right.
We publish, and Starkey has a list.
A brachas list,
which we publish for, you know, we redo it every so often. But in there, we write, this cornflakes is Adama, and this cornflakes is Shaka. What if you're a consumer, and you don't have that? You know, you don't have the idea. You don't know this brand, and it's not on the list. So what do you do? So I spoke to many mumchim over the years. Finally, there was a mumcha who told me that if you look at the perimeter of the cornflake, in the cornflakes that are made, let's say, by Kellogg's, you'll see it's much more jagged because they're taking a natural grit.
Uh-huh.
And natural grits are not uniform. They're right. The way
that could be so neat.
Exactly. So it's more jaggedy, the peripheral part. But if you look at a cornflake that's made from the corn pellet, those are made uniform.
Uh-huh.
So now that's going to be much smoother. It's not smooth like a shechita knife, right?
Right.
But it's lamaisa, much smoother, the perimeter.
And you're therefore saying also the flakes may be more uniform in general, or not necessarily?
The size, I think, again, the Kellogg's, I'm not sure if the size is going to be different, but the perimeter is going to be jagged in the Hadamah, mm-hmm. and if it's more uniform, meaning it's much straighter and smoother, then it's going to be Shahakal because it was from a corn grit.
I just want to go back to something you said before about an interesting Nakuda regarding Bishalakim that you said you saw
yes,
in the factory.
Oh, yes, correct. Yes. So we asked, some people have a Taina, maybe Rice Krispies and Crispix should be a problem with Bishal Akum, because rice is oil al shulchan malachim. And therefore, it's ena nechok mashukhai, which means it's not eaten raw. And it's oil al shulchan malachim. They serve a chasana, right? Which is a chasana like Maimer. They had rice, right? So it's oil al shulchan malachim. So maybe there's a Bishal Akum problem. Well, maisa.
That might depend on if you go busted a min or you go busted a product also, right?
Correct. So, but here, so if you look at
assuming that the min is oil al shulchan malachim.
So now you have the shaila. But lemaisa, this product has to be roy to be oil al shulchan malachim as it is. Lemaisa, we take, and it's rice. In other words, they cook it up, it's heated.
Right.
So behind him, he tasted it in that state before it was dried.
Uh-huh.
And he says, this is not oil al shulchan malachim. It might not be oil al shulchan anybody. Because when they make it, it's oil al shulchan. They make it in a way that's going to be, it's going to be roy. The ingredients they add are so that the finished product, when it's toasted, is going to taste good.
Uh-huh.
It's not meant to be served for supper.
I see.
At your table.
So they're really they're cooking the rice in a different fashion.
Correct, and it's cooked in an oifen that is never oil al shulchan malachim, because it I don't know if it tastes bad. Can you bring it home? Maybe.
Right,
but it's certainly not.
So Rav Heinemann held that because of that, there's no problem with Bishal Akum.
Correct, exactly. Right.
Very interesting. Thank you for this fascinating conversation, this educational primer on cereals.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much.